Welcome to the Approaching the Natural podcast with Sid Garza-Hillman and sponsored by the Stanford Inn Eco Resort on the Mendocino coast of California. Sid is a certified nutritionist, health coach, and author of Approaching the Natural, a health manifesto, out now on Roundtree Press. Sid is also the programs director at the Stanford Inn's Mendocino Center for Living Well, one of the most holistic and integrated wellness centers in the country. The Approaching the Natural podcast explores all aspects of human health, including nutrition, movement, mindfulness, art, and much more.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Sid Garza-Hillman once again with the Approaching the Natural podcast, where each week I come on here and discuss ideas and concepts related to health and happiness and my small step philosophy. I am the small step advocate, and there's a little TM, which I really hate the whole TM. I always go, why do you have to put that on there? But you're supposed to. Like, I filed for the trademark of the small step advocate, and they're like, you got to put the TM on there. I'm like, okay, I'll put the TM on there. And then I had to figure out how to do that. And what you do is you hit option 2 on a Mac. Who knew? And if for no other reason, you just gained some brilliant insight on this podcast, you can just hit stop now and go hit option 2 over and over again. And good luck with that. Anyway, so that's what I do each week. Come on here and discuss ideas about health and a different way of looking at health and a different way of approaching health and happiness. And I hope you get something from us. Before I begin with this week's discussion, one-sided discussion, a few little quickies that I do. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram. Both are at Sid Garza-Hillman. Facebook is Transitioning to Health. My private practice is transitioningtohealth.net. I work with people all over the country of the United States, but can work with people all over the world. It's a pretty interesting model, and I just did some different packages. You can see if you go to transitioningtohealth.net and click on services, you can see what I offer if you're ever interested in going a little deeper than what I do here. I'm here for you if it's a good fit. This podcast is sponsored by the Stanford Inn Eco Resort on the Mendocino coast of California, Northern California. And I head up their wellness center called the Mendocino Center for Living Well. And that website is livingwellmendocino.com. And there's some retreats throughout the year. I'm running one called the Transitioning to Health Unretreat because it's really not crafted like you would expect a typical retreat. Although there's plenty of time to hang out and have fun. The whole thing is fun, but it's classes with me and cooking classes and everything's included and it's just awesome. So that's happening April 7th through the 10th and then again July 7th through the 10th and then again October 20th through the 23rd. I have a couple people already for the April one. So get on board, especially you Bay Area folks in the Northern California Bay Area area. And I don't know what's going on in New Zealand, but I gotta say hey, because they're kicking the US's butt in terms of downloads of this podcast. I don't know why, but week in and week out, New Zealand's posting bigger numbers. I don't know why that is, and I'm not trying to start a rivalry. I'm just saying that what's up? That's what I'm saying. I'm asking and saying what's up with New Zealand. Pretty cool. I'd like to get down there and bust around at some point because I've always wanted to go. Okay, lastly, a couple things quick. If you would be so kind as to throw me a review on iTunes, I know a few people have and I really appreciate that. It helps get the word out. This is a free podcast and always will be, but ways you can give back is by throwing up a review on iTunes or on Amazon for my book or anywhere else my book is sold, Approaching the Natural Health Manifesto. I'm also available for speaking engagements and things like that. So that's all transitioningtohealth.net. Lastly, what I forgot to mention last week, and this is why I'm not that good of a marketer, trying to get better, just to put the word out anyway, is that I'm doing a free Spreecast. Spreecast, in case you don't know, is an interactive video format where I will be on video taking live questions as they happen and answering them, hopefully, in ways that are correct. That would be even an added bonus. So that's Spreecast.com. Just search on Sid Garza-Hillman, but I'll put the link on the post for this podcast so you can click on that. RSVP, there's a few people who have signed up. A lot of people are looking at it, so I'm assuming they'll get on board. It's free. I mean, Jiminy Christmas. You can't afford not to do it. And it'll be fun, I think. I mean, I don't know. What's not fun about the Approaching the Natural podcast? Honestly, what's not fun? Don't answer that. If you have a question for me, you can always email me directly, podcast@transitioningtohealth.net. Okay, enough of the announcements, okay? If you're listening to this, you're connected. You're part of the small step revolution. It's in a way, a subversive kind of movement, and that's going to get into what I want to discuss this week. It is bucking the trend that this country and world is embarking on, which is a quick fix diet thing. Why? Because it appeals to that kind of high that we get, that excitement. And they know, people who are selling that stuff and the pills, the magic weight loss pills, they know what that appeals to in you. And my philosophy is that the closer we get to what is natural for our species, the better we live and the happier we are and the more control we have over our lives. I've talked about this before. Is I help people take control of their lives. That's what I do. That's my job. It's a great job, by the way, because I make you see what that's like. And I don't solve it for you in a week, but I make you have a little, oh, that's what that's like. And you go, and then I get you to the point where you see enough of what that's like, and then you take the reins yourself. And that's why I'm not the kind of guy who you know, you got to stick with for 10 years every week and buy a bunch of crap from me. So don't do it for that reason. But I'll get you there to the point where you can continue the work yourself. Maybe your life changes. You jump back in for a little tune-up and go back on your way. I mean, that's literally the goal. My success is for you to never have to work with me again. That's when you get to that point, I'm done. And I feel really good about it. And it is about what makes me feel good. And if you don't believe me, go listen back to my selfishness episode. I got to feel good about what I do here so that I'm better at translating that into your lives. If I'm miserable at my job, then how is that going to translate for you guys who are trying to live healthier and happier? Probably not that well. So anyway, that's what I do here. And so I wanted to make that point is that it's approaching the natural, but things like pills, magic weight loss pills and diets and things like that aren't natural. They're not natural. Now, they can be a step in the right direction. You know, hey, I'm open to whatever works. So if taking a weight loss pill gets you thinking about your health and happiness, that's a good step. There's nothing objective about me saying that's a bad thing. The problem is that for most people, that's the end-all be-all. For most people, that diet or that pill is going to solve their problems. It's going to solve all the things that they're buying that pill off that shelf for. Which is, if you really think about it, for most of us, it's health and happiness. But we kind of stop short. We kind of get to that point where it's like, okay, if I can just lose weight, well, then what? I mean, ask the then what question. If you could just lose weight, then what? Well, then I'd be happier and I'd feel better about myself. Okay, well, then that's what you really want. You want to feel happy and feel better about yourself. Well, the way to do that as a natural animal is to live a little bit more naturally and get back in touch with who you really are, because it is unnatural for us to be too thin or too fat. It is unnatural for us to be on technology all the time and distracted and to not think about things, to not ask the questions. It's unnatural for us. We're separated from our true selves. And I said that in the last episode. When you decide who you want to be, that is who you are. You just got to get back to it. And when you say, well, I don't really care about my weight, but I just want to be happy and have another job, I make the argument that a healthy body is totally necessary to having a healthy mind and vice versa. So people who are fit in their body, that doesn't mean that they're happy. That doesn't actually mean that they're healthy either. You can see people who are like, they look at a healthy weight, but there's other things about their lives that aren't adding up. Skin and things like that. Now, I've talked about media, the way that models are portrayed. You know, they're airbrushed and made up and everything else. I don't care if you're Hugh Jackman. Yeah, he probably doesn't need as much makeup. I'm just saying. I'm going to get a sip of my coffee here. That's a good coffee. I actually got an email from a buddy of mine who runs a... so I roast my own coffee. I don't know if you guys know that, but I roast my own coffee. I have for years. And when I was doing the band full time, we were like a coffee drinking band. In fact, we made coffee mugs. So it's like a rock band, you know, whatever, but we had coffee mugs. And so that was kind of our thing. We'd smoke cigarettes and drink coffee. I saw somebody, I was on my run yesterday. I did a long, did a 10 miler yesterday, and I'm finishing my run 10 miles. And I see some girl sitting out. I run along the beach, run along this path along the beach. And there was like a motel there. And there was this girl sitting out there having a cup of coffee and a cigarette. And I'm finishing my 10 mile run and literally going, damn, that looks good. So anyway, that's where my brain, but did I act on it? No. Why? Why didn't I? Because it's not who I want to be, but it's nostalgia. Like food can be, it's nostalgia. And I have cravings for Big Mac still. You know, I drive by McDonald's and I can freaking taste that. But I wouldn't have a Big Mac. There's no conflict. I don't go like go home and I'm in sweats because I want to go back, you know, sweating it because I want to go back to McDonald's, just like I'm not going to go buy a pack of cigarettes. But there's certainly that I kind of am open to the fact that I don't want to squash that down and compartmentalize it in my body. That I feel somehow guilty for craving a cup of coffee and a cigarette. I have very fond memories of coffee and cigarettes, you know, at band practice and, you know, touring in Europe and waking up in some, you know, little motel in Eastern Germany and getting up in the morning and going downstairs and having a cup of coffee and a cigarette. And it was like a great, you know, whatever. It's part of that whole thing. It's part of that experience. It's part of that experience. I don't think that's something we need to be ashamed of. I think it's just a matter of who do you want to be and what do you want to do? At the time, there was no conflict for me then. But clearly, that's not where I'm at now. And I'm not struggling with that fact. I don't really want to smoke because as good as I enjoyed, you know, as much as I enjoyed that, and as good as it tasted or whatever, the benefits did not outweigh the pain and harm to my body, which didn't make me feel good and added stress. At the end of the day, I talk about health and happiness, and healthy mind, healthy body. But because we interact with the world through our physical bodies, eyesight, hearing, smelling, touching, tasting, because we interact through the world through this physical body, I do think that the health of the human body is first and foremost, and not the only thing, but it's the foundation of health. When you give your body the tools that needs to do its job, it will do its job better. And one of its jobs that it does is to try to achieve balance with the external world. And that goes for things like temperature and heat and, you know, sorry, temperature and humidity and, you know, whatever terrain that we're on and all these kinds of things, but also our relationships and things like that. I mean, we interact with the world that way. And the better we are physically does make a huge difference because when we feel better, we enter the world feeling better. So good. So here's a story. I'm starting this podcast off with a few stories. They're all relevant to the message that I'm sending out today. So the first one is this morning, I got a call from my wife. She had to get up earlier because she had to get a check in the bank because we had an automatic withdrawal coming out and we didn't have enough money. I know you all think that I'm a multimillionaire because of this podcast, but I'm not. And if I were, my minivan wouldn't look like my minivan. But anyway, so she had to like get up early and I finished up with the kids and, you know, I take them to school. She gets up early and she races down there at like 8:30 to the bank. Well, of course the bank's not open. And she asked me the day before, when does the bank open? I said, I don't know. You might want to check. But she just for some reason assumed that it was open before 9. And so she calls me and she was in her running clothes and she's like, what do I do? Like, I'm stuck at the bank. I wish you had told me that. I was like, I didn't. She's like, I wish you had told me that it was open, that it wasn't open until 9. And I was like, I don't, and I started to kind of engage. And what I was able to do, and this is not what I'm able to do all the time, by the way. So this was just like a win for me. And I'll tell you why it was a win for me. But I started to engage in like, I didn't tell you that it was open at before 9, you know, this kind of thing. She's like, what do I do? And so what I did is I realized that this was not about me. This was about her being stressed because she was in her running stuff and she wanted to take a run and she, in her brain, she was going to go down there at 8:30, deposit the check and get home and take a nice run and she's got to get to work. So she's got other things, you know, going. She works full time. So I was able to quickly assess that it was her stress and it wasn't about me. She was just expressing that and I love her. So I'm not going to, so I pulled back and I said, hey, you know what? Don't sweat it. Go home, take a nice run, get back to the bank, deposit it. If the automatic thing comes through before that time, they're just going to have to try to throw it back in again today. And it was like it was over. And I thought, what would I have gained by proving a point that I didn't tell her that it was open before 9 or whatever, what would I have gained? Nothing. That's not who I want to be. And it wasn't even about me. But my point is this. Here's how I'm relating it to feeling good. When you wake up in the morning in a body that is not in balance, and no body's perfectly in balance, but let's just say there's that line across, and you wake up and you feel kind of crappy and you don't eat a good breakfast. You know, I eat fresh fruit every morning. That's my thing. If I eat heavy breakfast once in a while, it weighs me down and it makes me feel, I'll get into that in a minute because I just got back from taking a trip where I wasn't eating that well during the day, relatively. So when you wake up in the day, in the morning, and you start out your day with a whole bunch of stuff that you got to get going, you got to get ready for work, and you slept late, and you're tired, and you're fatigued, you didn't eat well the night before, you had a few beers, you woke up this morning, you had a fried egg, some white toast, you know, and then you are approached with that kind of situation, you're faced with that kind of situation. Clearly, there's other ways that you could react to that than the way that I did. You know how I know that? Because plenty of other times I totally don't react that way. And I regret it later. I'm like, why did I get into that? And likewise, when I'm in the situation of being stressed or, you know, irritated by I can't find my wallet or something, you know, sometimes my wife, she's stressed. And so we get into it a little bit. But other times she's like, look, what can I do to help you? Let me help you find your wallet. And that's just all I need to kind of be disarmed. My point is that the health of your body affects the health of your mind, and the health of your body affects your relationships, and the health of your body affects your job. I have worked for years at this wellness center and before that in other places, and there are lots of people who come through here who are very intelligent, very talented, and they let their stuff get in the way of their success. They let their issues get in the way of their success. They come to work with that stuff right out there so that they can't listen appropriately because they're just on the ready and they're angry. They have all these kinds of issues that have nothing to do with the job, but that are preventing them from success. And they have all the other tools in place, intelligence and even a work ethic and things like that, because they're not in a good balance where they can enter the world in a way that is open and that they can do the things that they truly want to do. They're stuck. Now, how do you get out of that? Well, I'm the small step advocate. You get out of that by deciding who you want to be. That's first and foremost. Then taking small steps and reminding yourself who you want to be every day. Every day. I told you last episode, I have my clients write that out and they look at it. I want them to look at it every single day. I have them text me twice a day. I'm up in the morning and I'm going to bed at night because they have a little thought session for 2 seconds to just kind of take a deep breath and go, who do I want to be? The more you think about that, the more you're aware of that every day, the more you realize what it's like to be like that. And the more you act in response to that person, not to the person that you are today in terms of in the world, but the person you truly are down below. The person I truly am is a person who is in such a state of kind of attention and awareness that I'm not going to take on my wife when she's stressed. I want to make her feel better because I love her. I want to make her feel better. I don't want to add to the stress. That's who I want to be. Now, do sometimes I engage? You bet. You bet your ass. And every time I do, I regret it. I go, what did I gain by, okay, I was right. Okay, I got to be right. That's awesome. Good for me. It doesn't have anything. Now, will she like the fact that I just talked about her? Probably not, but again, like I did when I discussed our sex life, she's still on episode 5. I mean, she's never going to get past episode 5. I could spread lies about her. I could say whatever I want. She'll never know. People in New Zealand will know. New Zealanders, shout out. I wish I knew your anthem. I would totally sing it right now. Okay, that's story number one. And that's just by way of me hammering home every time what it takes to be happy. Yes, you need to address your relationships. Yes, you need to address your job. Yes, you need to address, you know, whatever it is in the external world, for sure. But it starts with the mechanism that you're in. And it really makes a difference to everything else. It's not the end-all be-all. I've been teaching for years. I say, you might still need psychiatry. You might still need psychology. You might still need acupuncture, acupressure, Ayurveda, They're all amazing. If you don't start with a body in the physical realm that is working the best that it can, that you're giving it the best it can, you can't expect those things to do the job that they're designed to do. You can't expect it, not long term. And you may still need those things, but they're going to be better serving you if you're starting with the foundation of a healthy body. So just something to think about, okay? All right. Okay, so I was in Mount Shasta last week, and we went on vacation with another family. Now, I've been training for a marathon. You all know that by now because I talk about it ad nauseum. And it's been going great. You know, I'm just kicking, and I know that I've been voicing a struggle that I've been having, which is that I am following a more intense training program that is 40 to 50 miles minimum. And now it's kind of creeping up into like the 55, 60 mile. But I got to be honest, like I'm working full time and there are times I'm not like, I could get up. Okay, no. Okay, let me rephrase that. I could get up at 5 a.m. So I could do that. And I'm going to get into this a little bit, but am I willing to do that? To be that exhausted? No, I'm not. Straight up, I am not, because I have other things to deal with. That makes it sound like I got to deal with my kids. I want to deal with my kids. I want to be present when I'm with them. I want to be with my wife at night and sit down with her and hang out with her like we do. I don't want to be like, I got to go to bed at 8 because I got to get up at 5, you know, that kind of thing. I don't want to do that. So that's just me. But because that training plan is as it is, there's a struggle for me that I look at that training plan. I'm like, and it's been, but I've been getting better and better. Why? Because I've been easing my way in, I do it. And so that everybody's clear, everything I espouse on this podcast, I do, but I want to be clear, because what I'm espousing is taking small steps. I'm not saying that I'm at the end of that thing and that I am the paradigm of what you should be. I'm saying that I'm in it. And so are you, hopefully. But I'm in it. I'm in the practice of improving my health and happiness day to day and also sustaining what I already have, because I'm pretty damn healthy and I'm pretty damn happy. So I want to maintain that. And that means being aware as much as I possibly can. So I'm always kind of in that mode of that's how I live. It works for me. But certainly there are things that come up, like sticking to a training plan to the T at the expense of other things in my life that are important to me, that's a struggle. Now, why do I want to stick to the training plan? Well, I'm not going to psychoanalyze myself, but clearly there's something in my upbringing such that, you know, I know my father's very routined. Whether that works for him or not is not my business. But he's very routine oriented. He came from the military. I'm sure that that rubbed off a little bit. Like today, this is a big, big thing for me today. I went for a run today. I took a 6-miler. It was an easy 6 in terms of my training plan, but I went without a watch. I have not run without a watch in, years. But I know my route. I know just around 6 miles. I know around that about how much that is. And I was like, you know what? I'm not going to wear my watch today. It was one of the best runs I've had in a long time. Why? Because I don't need the damn watch. I know what 6 miles is. I know my body because I've been running all these miles. I know now when I'm running at an easy pace. Why? Because I'm not out of breath. I mean, that's how I can gauge. I don't need to know my pace. I don't need to know it. I took a nice easy run today. That was what was, you know, on an interval day, like tomorrow, I will take the watch because it serves the purpose. But I've been looking at that watch like, okay, well, how much was that on days where it's not even about that. I mean, the training plan isn't even about that. Training plan is like go out and go easy. And so these are the things that I kind of go, I'm open to trying, because for one reason and one reason only, that's who I want to be. That's it. And I'm going to do what I can each day to be that person the best that I can. Am I that person 100%? Not by a long shot, but it's certainly making my life of such a quality that it's totally working for me to try every day. To do what I can every day, to do the best I can every day. Because guess what? We're designed for that. This is where in my book and in this podcast, I come back to the natural design, because your body is naturally designed to do the best it can in any circumstance. You're wired that way. Your body will take whatever food you put in it and it will do the best it damn well can in that situation. Every single time. When it breaks down by cancer, diabetes, heart disease, stroke, Alzheimer's, it's not because it's not doing its job. It's because it can't do it anymore, because you've beat it to crap and it can't do it anymore. But it's trying. I mean, it's trying because the cancer cells got out of hand because the immune system was beaten down to the point where it couldn't catch the cancer cell that is in all of our bodies all the time anyway, but our immune system kicks it out. But if it gets overwhelmed by it, it's not because it wasn't trying. The body's designed to survive. The body is designed to survive. And when you help it do it, you feel better. And when you don't, you don't. And the more you don't help your body, the more you need distractions like eating light box foods, what I refer to as light box foods, more empty calories, because it's a distraction. Or you drink, or you take drugs, or you do anything else, because the more you beat your body down in that regard, the more you need to not be thinking about that. The more miserable you feel, the more distraction you need. And it's kind of this snowball effect. I need more distraction, but the very things I'm distracting myself make me feel even worse. And so the worse I feel, I even need more distractions. And that's where we go with that. But it's, you can break the cycle. And I'm going to get into a little bit about how we break that cycle today. Okay. So the other thing I did is I went, because I was in Shasta, so I've got that running plan, right? So now I'm going on vacation. So I think to myself, there's that word think again, right? I think to myself, I could keep on that schedule, but I'm on vacation, went out for away for 4 days. I haven't taken a vacation like that in over 10 years, okay? So we got in the trusted minivan and we busted out. We shared a little house, a little cabin with somebody and with another family. We had a super good time. Now, I knew on my way in that I was like, you know what? I could totally keep to this training plan, but that would mean less time with my family. I'm at altitude, 4,000 feet, so it's going to be stressful for me to stay on that like right away. And I'm not eating as well. You know, when I'm doing 40 to 50 miles a week, I'm doing, you know, a ton of fruit during the day and big salads at night. That's what I'm doing most of the time. Remember the most of the time thing? Well, on vacation, the most of the time for that week, for that four days, was clearly not that. The beauty of my model is that I didn't sweat it in terms of any long-term lasting health. And that's why I work with, you know, sometimes my clients are like, well, what do I do on that trip? It's like, that ain't tipping the scales. Go enjoy your damn trip. Have fun. Embrace life. Don't go on a trip and be miserable because you didn't stick to the diet that I handed you, which I wouldn't hand you, but let's say hypothetically I did. That's miserable for some people. Maybe not for you. I don't know. I'm just saying. I wanted to enjoy food. Now, did I eat unhealthy food? Of course not. I ate actually really healthy food, but it wasn't as healthy as I typically eat. It's all in a spectrum. Now, so I adjusted my runs. Well, guess what I did? I just ran with my wife every day. Because it was our time to like be together like that. And my kids, you know, the one other couple would watch the kids and we'd go for a run and we'd come back and then they'd go for a little run. It was like 30 minute run, totally cool. One of the days I tacked on an extra mile when my wife got back. I was like, I'm just going to run. So it was like, not, you know, I ran like an 8 minute mile, just tacked on 8 more minutes of run. That was it. Totally enjoyed. And it's because the putting... it's about goal setting, okay? And I will get into this. I might as well get into it now. When you partition goals, and so I'll put it this way. When you have partitioned, what I call partitioned goals. So my marathon is a partitioned goal. What I mean by that is I've got the overarching goals of health and happiness. Family, big picture stuff, right? I want to be healthy and happy. And what does that mean? Well, it means that I fill in the blanks with family and with work that I like and with running. All those things are part of that whole big picture of health and happiness, right? But the little things like the marathon and the family, they're all partitioned goals. Even family is a partitioned goal because clearly, like, if I just was about being with family, then I wouldn't have a job where I made enough money and I would, and wouldn't be pursuing anything else that I love, which I think adds to the quality of my life, which makes me a better father and a better husband. So to look at all the partitioned goals in your life means that any one of those can be adjusted and should be adjusted to serve the greater big picture goal. So training for my marathon, while is really fun, and I like pushing myself a little bit like that. It's not killing me. It's great. I'm eating well to support that level of movement, and I'm enjoying that process. But in the context of the bigger picture of my life of trying to be as healthy and happy as I can, that dictated that I adjusted that training during my little time with my family last week. Because clearly it would have cut into the other parts of my life that are important to me. My goal is a sub-4-hour marathon. I've already run a marathon. That was my first goal. I kind of wanted to do sub-4, didn't make it. I ran 4:08. Not bad. I want to see if I can shave 8 minutes off for this next marathon. Now, that's my goal. But if for me, adjusting that training last week for the 4 to 5 days that I was gone, if that means that I don't make my sub-4 because of the 1 week, which I can't imagine that would happen, but let's say it did for the sake of argument, I don't care because sub-4 is not a goal that is part and parcel to anything other than it just being a random goal that I made for myself. Now, if I were a professional marathoner, well, I wouldn't. If I were a professional marathoner and I had a race coming up, I probably wouldn't adjust my training because it's my job. And that has its own kinds of things. Like, it's important for me to make money as a marathoner and, you know, XYZ, because that's my living. And so I can't, you know, I'll take a vacation after the next race, you know, those kinds of things. It's in that balance. But I would also, if I were a professional marathon, I would say, am I happy doing this job? Does it get in the way of the other things in my life? Because if at that point it's a job, and that can infringe on the other parts of your life that hold value for you. So it's all just kind of like a quick thing. It's like, at the end of the day, I want to be the guy who goes, so I don't make 4 hours. I mean, yeah, it's a goal. I think goal setting is fantastic. Set a goal. I mean, it's getting me motivated. I would love to break 4 hours. Am I going to die, you know, hopefully at an old age going, oh boy, I wish I had busted under 4 hours? No, it's not my life's work. You know, it's not my life's work. You know, I'll feel much better about the fact that I wrote a book that I'm proud of. That's a billion times more important than running a sub-4 marathon for me. And if I don't run the sub-4 marathon, I don't see it as a failure, because I'm hoping that I didn't do it because it's part and parcel of a larger goal, which is health and happiness. If running a sub-4-hour marathon made me happier, then I would do that. And I think it would make me happy to do that, but not at the expense of the other things that happened to me, more important to me, especially when I was on that trip with my family. So it's there's no objectivity. But the problem is when you're handed a training plan or you're handed a diet and you don't have perspective on it like that, when you don't look at it as just part of a bigger thing, then you're going to potentially stick to those things at the expense of your health and happiness. Isn't that ironic? I mean, if I pushed it, then it would be at the expense of my health and happiness. And that's, you know, when I talked about my six pack, like having a six pack doesn't add to my health. Okay. I got a flat stomach. So the question for me is, if I wanted a six pack, and the reason why I decided not to is because it wouldn't even really add happiness to me. I'd love to have a six pack. But when I really thought about it, the work it would take to achieve that would infringe on the other things in my life that are important to me. I really enjoy running. It's my meditation. I'd have to be in the gym all the time. I wouldn't want to do that because it would infringe on the time I have with my family. It's not fun for me to exercise like that. I don't love being in a weight room. That's just me. But those are the things that you have to understand when you have a goal of weight loss. Are you really prepared to take on a diet? And are you really prepared to take it on for the rest of your life, a certain diet? Because most people are not, and they don't know it because they're sucked in for other reasons besides whether it's sustainable or not. They're sucked in for the opposite of that, which is that it's a quick fix. And they think it's going to solve their issues in that fixed amount of time. And this is what it is. So it's a way to think about that. Okay, it's a way to think about goals, that they're any goal you have has to be related to all the other goals you have, and all under the umbrella of health and happiness, because that's what you're designed to be. Don't fight that. You're designed to be healthy and happy. That is your natural design. That's the argument I make, and I'll just keep on making it, because I really feel strongly about that, and I can make that argument, and I don't have to sell anything. It doesn't sell anything. You're designed to be healthy and happy. Figure out what would do that for you and take steps to get there. That's it. Do you need help sometimes? Yes, that's why I have a job. But I don't work with you. I'm not going to work with any of you listening for the rest of your lives. Not going to. I would like to work with you for a month, maybe two at the most, and you're on your way. I mean, that's what it takes to get somebody to the point where they're thinking about things, not to where they've lost the 15 pounds that they want, or not to where they're running a 100-mile race, but to the point where they're thinking and they're in control of their lives so that all the other things that they want to do in their lives can fall into place. Better job, better relationship, whatever. The only person I would work with the rest of my life would be somebody in New Zealand, honestly. They're great people.
Mm.
Yeah. I don't know how the coffee is down there. Anyway, so I got an email today. I got an email today from a buddy of mine who owns this company called The Coffee Project. Now, I have no financial thing and it's not health related anyway, but he was like, hey, man, do you want to, because he knows I talk about coffee all the time. So I roast my coffee. So if you guys want to check it out, I'm not being sponsored, although I would love to be sponsored by The Coffee Project because it's not health related. But so I'm not like trying to sell you anything. But if you guys love coffee, and I really love it, but you can roast at home. And this is what I was talking about years ago when my band was, you know, doing the full-time thing. We would drink coffee and my bass player was like, you know, people roast coffee. I go, of course they roast coffee. He goes, no, I mean their houses. And I was like, no, they don't. He's like, no, they totally roast coffee at home. And so I started looking into it. I bought a little coffee roaster and I've been doing it ever since. It's been over 10 years. I absolutely love it. And we used to never roast coffee. Like we would buy raw beans back in like the 1920s and we would just pan roast them at home. Totally cool. Anyway, you can't beat it. It's totally cheap and awesome. So there's my plug. And there's a little indie company down in Glendale in LA. I buy 10 pounds of green beans and I roast them up. It's amazing. There you go. With that said, so let's get into this. I don't know why I got into the coffee thing. It's just fun. I like fun stuff. Okay, here's the theme of the day. Okay, the theme of the day is no pain, all gain. No pain, all gain. What do I mean by that? Well, I'm hoping you guys have heard the term no pain, no gain. No pain, no gain. And I started thinking about that in terms of what I advocate for in the health arena and the happiness arena. And I thought, what an interesting message of that is in our world. You know, we see the Nike commercial, or the Gatorade commercial with the people sweating green or whatever. I don't even know if those are on anymore. But the Nike commercial, just do it. Just do it. Well, if that's not easy, if that's not an example of easier said than done, I don't even know what is. But it is this message, and I don't even know where it comes from. I was wondering if it's like part of that kind of American work ethic that we have, like this kind of, you know, this kind of US like, pull yourself up by your bootstrap, man, because, you know, that kind of thing. And I'm going, I like to go behind the veil, right, and go, well, what is it that we're trying, when we say no pain, no gain, it's like the message is you got to beat the crap out of yourself to achieve. You have to beat yourself down to achieve. No, if it doesn't hurt, you're not doing anything. If you go for a light walk and breathe and think about who you want to be, that doesn't do anything because you're not beating yourself up in a gym on a spin bike. I mean, that's the message. You know, like I've talked to plenty of people. I say, yeah, I do that, but unless I feel like I got my workout. Well, what if your workout is the act that you do that helps you achieve greater health and happiness? Whoa. What if that was the indicator of whether you got a workout? In which case, a light walk is both totally healthy, and if you have time to actually think in this modern world, bonus. Amazing. Right? Amazing. So this whole message of no pain, no gain is kind of dictates a lot of what we do in the world. I mean, we do go all the way and we go, well, I'm going to lose weight, so I'm going to do a diet. Well, that's kind of painful, right? Or we give up something for 30 days. Lent, I'm going to give up my very favorite thing. No pain, no gain. No pain, no gain. The problem I have is that we, all of us listening to this, all and everybody in the world, especially in New Zealand, all have a balance we have a balance that exists. We may not be in it, but it's there. There's a place for all of us where stress is at its minimum. Okay, let's just take that as a premise. This is just the thought exercise that I'm going with right now. Let's take that as a premise. We all have a balance somewhere such that when we hit it, we're in a minimal amount of stress. Okay? The best way to get to that balance is to ease your way to it. And here's why. Because if we are, let's say, heavy, like we have way too much weight hanging on our bodies, okay? And we don't ease our way in to a healthy body and therefore a healthy weight, which, you know, if you're just joining me, healthy weight is a side effect of a healthy body, okay? Not the end all be all. It's just one of the bonuses of being healthy is that you're at a healthy weight by definition. Healthy skin, healthy hair, healthy attitude. Whoa. Yes, all of it. When you're, let's say you're heavy and then you go, well, I want to be in balance weight-wise. I want to be the healthy weight. So I'm going to do a cleanse. Well, that's taking the pendulum that the pendulum is going from where you are being too heavy and swinging all the way to the other side, which is to a cleanse. It's all the way like at the other side of the, like if you could see me right now, I'm literally like my arm is like pointing somewhere and you can't even see where I'm pointing. That's how far it's going. And I'm doing it knowing that you can't see me. That's my problem. When you go all the way to the other side, guess what happens when you're done with that? Guess what happens when you're done with that cleanse? Can anybody guess? Nobody can guess? Okay, fine. That'll be on the Spreecast. You can guess. That pendulum is going to swing all the way back. And that is why people who diet don't succeed. And that's why 95%, I've said it before, 95% of diets fail, and yet I've never seen a single one succeed, so I'm actually thinking it's closer to 100%, but I don't have data on it. I've just never met anybody who has started a 12-week diet and continued exactly on that diet forever because it's totally unnatural to diet. And the nature, what is built in you, how you are wired, will always win. Will always win. You're not designed to diet, and you're going to swing that pendulum all the way back. But if you can appeal to what is natural to you, if you can say, well, okay, fine, I'm just going to accept that there are certain things that are natural to me, which is eating heavy box foods. And if I just start by little eating a little more of those each day, that's when I always talk about the stalk of celery, then you ease your way into that balance and there's no swinging back because you're not swinging all the way. My arm, there's my arm going again. Look at it. It's my right arm now. And then it swings all the way back. Boom. And that's why people actually will not only gain weight back, they'll gain even more. They'll cleanse, they'll lose weight, they'll gain all of it, and then more. Because that's just a huge wide swing. You're going out to another planet when you do a cleanse for most people. For most people, it's just not even in the realm of your life. It's not realistic. It's not how you want to live. It has nothing to do with you. It's not who you want to be. I'll correct myself. If you're a kind of person who wants to do cleanses all the time, then okay, great. You're probably not listening to this podcast. Because I don't think anybody, and like I think I said in the last one, most of the time episode, the Mott episode, I've never seen anybody who goes, I am the person who diets, who yo-yo diets. I am the person who gains a bunch of weight and then cleanses and then loses it and then gains it all back again. That's who I am. I've never seen that. I'm not saying that you're not that person. And if that's fun for you, if you're just like a professional cleanser, great. Great. I've just never seen that. But if that's you and you're cleansing and doing that and you're happy, awesome. Email me. Go, you know what? I cleanse all the time and I freaking love it. Go, okay, awesome. Great. I'm serious. I'm not joking. It's the balance that you're in. Okay. It's a two for most of us. It is a too wide of a swing. In the realm of movement, it's I'm stagnant. I don't exercise. So I want to lose weight. That's always the go-to, right? So I'm going to go to the gym for an hour and a half every day. Hour and a half every day. I'm going to get the gym and the equipment and the gear. I'm going to go an hour and a half every day. And you're going to do that. That's your diet. I'm going to work with a personal trainer. And then you lose the weight. And then guess what? It doesn't last. And then guess what? Most of those people go right back to being stagnant because life takes over. They're not bad people. Nobody here listening to this is any bad. This is not bad. This is me telling you how you can literally take control of your life in a very real way. And when you take control of your life, literally being alive, if you're taking control of that, of being alive in the way that you are alive, then all the things in your life come under that. Your job, your relationships, your family, your everything. Everything starts with that. You take control of what it is that makes you alive, that spark. You feed that. And that relates to a better job and a better this and a better that and all those things in the world because you're relating to the world through this body that is at a way better balance. And your relationships are better because of what I talked about earlier with my wife. Because you're not irritable and pissed. So that when you relate to people, you're not coming at them through your own stuff. You're coming at them from a place of paying attention and actually listening. Essentially, what I was able to do this morning, which is why I'm excited about it, and I don't do it all the time, but it's certainly what I'm working toward, is that I was able to actually listen to her and get what was really happening. If I just was listening to the words, I would have taken her on because I wanted to be right. I wanted to create an argument. But what I could actually hear, because I wasn't muddled by my own junk, what I was able to hear is that she was stressed and she needed help from me. That's what I actually heard. I actually heard the message under the message. And that's what I appealed to. And then it was solved. And we had a great day. We've been, you know, texting. It's like, you know, we're back in the thing. Like I'm talking to her. How are you doing? Good. I mean, it's like, you know, no, it was gone. A minute later, it was gone. It didn't become a thing. How awesome. How awesome. Okay. All right. Back to this. So if the whole message is no pain, no gain, you have to ask yourself what it is that you want. Now, if you're a professional athlete, maybe it is about no pain, no gain. I mean, maybe to be a professional athlete, you have to bust your ass in that realm to get ahead. Sure. Like in the work realm, like if you want to succeed at your job, maybe that means you got to like put in serious hours and like, you know, work harder than anybody else in that regard. But for me, in the terms of health and happiness for the general people, kind of not the professional athlete thing, I don't think it's no pain, no gain. I think it's no pain, all gain. No pain, all gain. That's the title of this podcast episode. No pain, all gain. If you ease your way in a way that is the message, I mean, the thing is like, wouldn't enjoying the process of becoming healthier, what if you enjoyed that process of becoming healthier and happier? Do you think that that might result in lifelong change and improvement? I mean, is it just so out of bounds to think that you could enjoy the process of becoming healthier and happier? Does it have to be something that you think, because it's been ingrained in us in the media and who knows with our upbringing, that you have to treat yourself, that you have to be really hard on yourself to achieve? That you have to beat yourself up to get ahead? I want you to question that. I want you to question that. Because in the small step, in my small step philosophy, when you find a step that you can do every day, it's not stressful for you. It's all positive because you're acting. I mean, you're acting. So for instance, I'll tell you about a small step I'm taking right now. This is the truth. So I had this thing where like, I think I talked about this before, and this is just me. Do not take notes and go, what is he doing? What does he eat? I should eat what he eats. No, no, no. Okay. Now I'm going to do a video at some point and I'm going to put it on my site for free and talk about nutrition. So you guys get like all you need. And if you have nutrition questions, bring them to the Spreecast. Okay, just whatever. I'm a nutritionist, so go ahead. Ask me. So what I was going to say is when you are back to my, okay, this is a small step. I want to go the small steps. So my thing is during the week when I'm not thinking about food, I'm kind of working and doing my thing, I eat really, really well. Because I've learned, and this has taken me years, but I've gotten to a place where I'm eating food that it's pleasurable in a way. Like I love fruit and I love salads. Like I don't not love them, but they're not like a big bowl of pasta. Now I would eat, you know, today, like on, not today, but like last week, I would eat, like we had pasta. It was like brown rice pasta. So I mean, comparatively to white flour pasta, it's totally an awesome step and one that I totally advocate for. But it's a little heavier for me than what I usually eat. And the lighter that I eat during the week, the better I run, et cetera, et cetera. So that's kind of my models during the week when I'm working and I'm kind of doing my thing. I don't really pay attention to food as much. And so I don't want to blow that experience on eating some that more treat foods when I can't really enjoy them. That's just kind of what works for me. On the weekends, I do a little more light box, you know, a lighter box. I don't, not really light box, but lighter box. And then, but then I'm like, it's about the meal, right? So it's about the seeing with my kids and we sit down, we have a meal and it's about enjoying that food. And when it's about that, then there's this other kind of food I eat. However, I do overeat. I find myself overeating in those situations where I'm eating lighter box foods. Now, one thing I will tell you is, and what I teach people, is that the heavier box food you eat, the less you need to think about overeating. And that's why you cannot, most of us, overeat a big bowl of lettuce with no dressing on it. I mean, go for it. See how much you can see at the point where you're eating when you know you're not hungry and you're still eating. Doesn't happen. You want to know why? Because that food is so natural and it's so heavy box that your body can shut you down. It goes, I don't need it anymore. But as soon as you add dressing and things that are salted, you know, artificially salted and artificially sugared, and I don't mean like the sugar is artificial, but it's disproportionate because we're adding sugar. And so it's sweeter than it would normally be or saltier than it would normally be. I mean, there's sodium in all sorts of things. Celery has a fair amount of sodium in it, but it's in the context of the celery and it doesn't taste salty. And when you put peanut butter on celery, all of a sudden you can overeat that faster because that trips your little brain and goes, whoa, your brain's like, peanut butter, amazing. Can't believe you found a tree that had peanut butter on it. I'm going to eat the crap out of this celery.
Mm.
That was water. The heavier box you eat, the less you need to pay attention. It's so liberating if you're into that. But what I find is that sometimes I choose, like on this vacation, to eat a little more fun. I mean, I love, for instance, peanut butter is funny that I mentioned that because I freaking love peanut butter. I can't have it in the house. Love it. So on vacation, I was like, get up in the morning, had some fruit, and then I would have like a piece of toast with peanut butter on it. Like it's a treat for me. I love that stuff. I love it. Is it the best thing ever for me? No. Are there worse things? For sure. It's a spectrum, everybody. It's not like that's bad. That it's just like, is it less healthy than what I usually eat? Absolutely. And I knew it. But the thing is, I found myself overeating. So kind of my last step is like on the times that I, for me, on the times that I'm eating lighter box foods, my last kind of step diet-wise is to not overeat that. My life is such that I don't want to not eat those things because they're fun for me. Again, if I were a 100-mile runner and doing all this crazy stuff, I probably wouldn't have any light box food because I'd be doing some serious training and I would need to support my body in that. But I'm not. And I like having fun meals once in a while. That's just me. But I don't like overeating at those fun meals. I'll be honest with you. I don't like overeating. And what will happen is I'll sit down for that meal and I'm like, in my brain, I'm like, well, I'm eating really well generally. And I'm running 40, 50 miles. I can, and there's the messages. Boom, boom, boom. You know how I know that they're just not real? Is because after I'm overeating, I regret it. And I go, God, I wish I had not eaten that much. So the step that I'm taking, this is to share with you how I approach my own health and happiness and how I do that so that I can translate that to you and my clients, okay? In a real way. I'm not soapboxing up here going, we should do this, and then I'm not doing it. Beware of the person who doesn't live what they preach. What I do, my step is to simply be aware right now, is to simply, as I'm eating, and I worked on this over the weekend, as I'm eating a light box foods that I still overeat, but I'm like, I shouldn't be eating. I don't want to really be eating this right now. Interesting. And I kind of, not judgmental, not, you know, you're a crappy person, but okay. So this is a place that eventually I would like to stop eating this food. I'm just, yeah, and I'm not, I at that point, I'm aware enough to stop, but I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that yet. I'm easing my way in. That's what I'm ready to do. I may have a little bit more food after that because I'm taking the pressure off myself of having to then act on that awareness. Right now, the awareness is where I'm starting with that. Knowing that I'm full and that I don't need to eat anymore. And over time, that will build into maybe eating just a little bit less than I would. I would, you know, put it this way, overeating a little less. And then overeating a little less than that. And then eventually not overeating. And until I find my balance. But there's no objection. if I were just a typical nutritionist, I would hand you a thing that said you need to eat this many calories and you need to weigh this and measure that. And that's the kind of stuff that is too rigid. There's no balance there because you can't figure out what works for you or what doesn't work for you. Don't let somebody else determine that for you. If I were more motivated because I was a 100-mile racer or because whatever, I probably wouldn't over. I would already go to that. My step would be not overeating at all or even not having that special meal. That would be a step I'm ready for because the other things in my life are important enough. You know, if for some reason running 100-mile races was like the thing that I absolutely loved, I would want to do everything to facilitate that. And I might be ready to take on way more. But I'm not. There's certain values that could change because I think about stuff that could change. But right now, one of the steps that I want to do is eventually get to the point where the kind of my, like my last bastion in the food realm is to not overeat when I do have special meals. It's to just enjoy that food, but not in a way that there's conflict for me the next day or afterwards where I go, God, why did I eat that much? I don't want to feel like that. I don't want to feel like that. That's stress for me. I don't need. Totally avoidable. But I know because I want to make this change for the rest of my life that if I said, I'm just going to not overeat for the next 4 weeks, that I would eventually go back because I swung the pendulum too wide. Swung the pendulum too wide. Taking little steps is sending yourself the message that you can change. I want to make this point. This is like the last point I'm going to make. Taking little steps sends you the message. You're sending yourself the message that you can change. It's a real act. It is not manufactured. It is a true act of improvement, showing you and you're messaging yourself that hope is not lost. When you do a diet, it's not a message that you're sending yourself that you can change forever. When you do a diet, you're sending yourself the message that, well, I'm going to see if I can try this for 4 weeks, or I'm going to beat myself into submission for 4 weeks. Well, you know, at least we can do this for 30. I can at least do this for 30 days. I'm going to do this cleanse for, I can get through 7 days. I know I can get this through 9 days. Incorporating a small act that is, when you come to that act with the idea that what you're doing is for the rest of your life, first of all, that's going to help you kind of make that act doable. You know, because you're going to think about it as a rest of your life. Can I eat heavy box foods most of the time for the rest of my life? Or can I eat heavy box foods once a day for the rest of my life? Yeah, I could probably do that. And then you start from there. And then over time, you add, could I do a little bit more? Yeah, I could do a little bit more. And you find your balance along the way. But the message that you send right out of the chute is that you can change. Otherwise, why would you take the small step? But a diet is you're asking somebody to deliver you something without you having to really do much. You're asking somebody to, will you help me lose 10 pounds as fast as possible? And that person goes, for sure. Here's how much I'll charge you. And then it doesn't, and then they, you know, they keep their promise. They make you lose 10 pounds. But what you really want is to be thinner for the rest of your life. What you really want is to be a healthy weight at a healthy weight for the rest of your life. Why? Because you feel good in your body and because you're naturally designed to be at a healthy weight. Whether you know it or not, that's how you're designed. When you appeal to that in your body, you win, whatever contest that is. But taking little steps today, I mean, you could on this podcast right now, if you have water in your car or you have water on your treadmill or you're sitting on a couch and you can drink a sip of water, take a sip of water. But don't just take a sip of water without thinking about it. Take a sip of water, even if you drink plenty of water today. Take a little sip of water and just, I'm going to take care of myself right now. I'm going to throw myself a little bit of water. I'm going to act to my benefit, to my health, because I know that I have that power. And when you can actually take small steps every day and do something every day, you realize how freaking powerful you are. You realize how powerful you are when you follow a diet for 15 days or 21 days and then stop that diet. That doesn't show you how powerful you are. That doesn't show you how powerful you are. That you just did that, that's not you. That's external to you. When you do something that you can do every day and you do it with the intention of doing it every day and you do it with the intention of actually making yourself happier and healthier, that's when you see how powerful you are. That's when you see it. That's when you know what it's like to have control over your life. Little bit. When you put that stalk of celery, that's you're taking control of your health and happiness. And you see that. And the more you see that every day, the easier it is to just be that. And eventually, you just are that. That's it. That's what you are. And that's why, even though I'm not all the way where I want to be, I went for a little trip with my family and didn't eat as well as I usually eat. And guess what I did today? Got right back on the freaking horse. Because I'm back. What I did is it made my most of the time. I've worked over a long period of time on my most of the time to get where it works for me, so that when I take a little trip and I'm not doing that, I jump right back on. I've had 3 pears today, 3 apples. I've had 8 bananas. I've had a mango. That's what I've had today. Do not take notes about what I had today. I'm not recommending anybody listening to this to eat what I just ate today. I'm going to go home and have a big, huge salad. That's where I'm at. There's no conflict for me there. I was looking forward to today because I was like, oh man, I can't wait to clean out. I can't wait to just eat like water-filled just food that just like makes me feel awesome and in a different way. But on the vacation, I totally enjoyed eating the toast with peanut butter on it. But I wouldn't enjoy that most of the time. I wouldn't. I mean, that's why I don't do that most of the time, because that wasn't something that I enjoyed as much, because I was heavier. I wasn't running as well. I wasn't as happy. I didn't feel as good in my body. What is it for you? I mean, what is it for you? Ask yourself, what is it for you? Be realistic. Be honest. Just ask yourself the question. Don't even act on it right now. Just ask, what do you want out of your life? Do you ever take time to ask yourself that? When you ask yourself that, that's an act of self-care. I said it before. Just asking that question is making it easy on yourself. It's making it easy on yourself because you're allowing that thing in you already, a voice, to come out. No pain, all gain. And I'll leave you with this. If there's any pain in the small step model, it's the pain that can come up when you start taking control of your life and you are distracting yourself less from the things in your life that are such that you want to be distracted, like the things that you want to be distracted from. Maybe it's a relationship that's not as healthy as you want it to be. Maybe it's a job you don't really like. Maybe it's a past that you regret, that you haven't looked at, and that you are distracting yourself via food, via drugs, via alcohol. It's all the same thing. Exercise can be a distraction. Meditation can be a distraction. And when you ask yourself who you want to be and you start taking small steps to that, all of a sudden you're not distracting yourself as much. You're easing your way in, by the way. So that's awesome, instead of just cold turkey, right? Easing your way in. But all of a sudden, these things start coming up. I've seen it with clients, by the way. Things start coming up. Boom. All of a sudden you're not distracted, and all of a sudden these issues come up and things start to happen. But two things. One is making the small step model totally appropriate and perfect because you are easing your way in. And here's the best part. As soon as this pain happens for you, as soon as things come up, you are in the mode of doing something about it right at the same time. At the same time that things are coming up for you, you are the very thing that you would want to do something about it, you're doing it. I mean, you're not pain and then, oh my God, you're like, yeah, I got the pain, but I'm already doing something. Like, this is happening. It's happening because I'm doing something about it. It's like, as soon as you feel the pain, the solace is that you're acting on it immediately, like already, you were already acting on it. And by the way, the pain that comes up is there already. Whether you're distracting yourself from it or not, it's there. And when you distract yourself from it, it manifests somehow. It manifests in weight gain. It manifests in disease. It manifests in sickness. It's because it's stress and it's compartmentalized and you've stuffed it down somewhere and it's going to come out. So when you ease your way into change, and when you ease your way into improving your life, when you ease your way into taking control of your life, little by little, that stuff comes up. And as it comes up, you go, you acknowledge it and you go, yeah, okay, I got that. It's there. And this was the reason why I was overeating. Now I know. Oh, good. Knowledge. It's excellent. Don't judge. It's why. It's what it is. It's explanation, not a judgment. Okay. Okay. Well, that's weird. That came up. Oh, I got unresolved stuff I got to deal with. Whoa, I don't like my job. I've been drinking every night because I freaking hate my job. But I'm acting I'm acting, I'm taking care of myself, and this came up, and now that I know small steps help, I can start taking little small steps to make me changing my employment or just focusing on my body right now so that I'm entering the world feeling better and having more confidence and more self-esteem, and that, I bet you, down line is going to lead me to a better job that I want. Interesting. Look at that pain that came up. But I'm not a victim because I feel pain and I don't know what to do about it. I feel pain and I recognize what I was doing about it, which is distracting myself. And now I'm like, I'm done with that. And I don't want to distract myself anymore. Sometimes in the short term, I'm going to keep distracting myself because this is pretty heavy stuff. And I need to have a carton of Ben and Jerry's tonight because it's like a lot. But earlier in the day, I had a stalk of celery and I had a big glass of water. And that's how I'm jumping on this ship. And I'm taking it all away. And I'm doing those things because I'm going to do those things or something like them for the rest of my life. There's no time limit on there. And I'm going to take the power back. I'm going to leave you guys there. Take small steps. Listen to this podcast. Give it a shot. See what you think. There's no downside. There's no downside. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But eating a sock of celery ain't going to, you know, ruin your life. Okay? Give it a shot. All right? This is the last podcast before my Spreecast on March 1st. Please join me. It'll be really fun. I'm betting. I'm going to bet. I'm a gambling man. I'm going to bet it's fun. In the meantime, be well. Take care of yourselves. See what that's like. No pain, all gain. Be gentle on yourselves. You guys are doing a great job living in a modern world, an unnatural world as a natural being. You're doing an incredible job and your body is doing the best it can. Take it easy. Be nice to your poor body. It's having to deal with stuff that just it's not equipped to deal with, and it's doing the best it can. Understand that. All right? Till next week, be well.
2, 3, 4. I walk from you. Though not from you. I came back and you were just as I left you. And I fear the quiet. Of you. Fierce through glass could him break the silence. This is drastic. So I feel so hard.